Hi, I'm Larry Guger with the Visual Studio team here at Microsoft. Today we're going to take you on a lap around the ALM cycle, the Application Lifecycle Management. We're going to start by detecting a problem that we've got in production using System Center 2012 R2, showing you how that information can be transferred through Team Foundation Server into Visual Studio Ultimate 2013, the problem fixed, solved, checked back into Team Foundation Server, and then we'll use the new release management capabilities to push that fix back into production. My colleague, Claude, will be showing you the release management capabilities. All right, so here we are working with our friends at Fabricam Fiber. They recently released some updates to their call center application. And everything seems to be working really well, with one exception. Every time somebody goes over and takes a look at these brand new reports that were developed, they get this error message. And we can see the tickets report seems to be showing fine, but the report that should be showing here, we have a problem. So let's take a look at System Center and see what System Center has captured to help us solve that problem. So we're looking at the Operations Manager that comes with System Center 2012 R2. And we can see from my Fabricam production environment, we're capturing a few performance exceptions as well as an application exception. So this exception here is the one that we've been encountering. And if we take a look over to the side, we can see this has happened a couple of times now. We've already taken advantage of Team Foundation Server's integration and assigned this to engineering. Let's take a look at how we would assign a new performance problem over to Team Foundation Server. I can simply right-click on one of these alerts, set the resolution state to assign to engineering. This is going to use the connection feature that we have with Team Foundation Server and create a new work item within TFS. And you can see with the one that we've already assigned, the Team Foundation Server work item ID is shown back in System Center. Let's switch over to Visual Studio and see what that looks like over there. So here we have Visual Studio Ultimate 2013. I'm going to take a look at my work items. We can see I've got a query pinned here for active operational issues. Operational issues are the work item type that's created with the connection between System Center and Team Foundation Server. Let's drill into this query. When I look at this, you can see by clicking on it, I've activated a refresh of the query, and I've now got four items. That includes the new item that I just assigned to engineering from System Center. So we've got some Fabricam production issues here. We can also see we have some other operational issues with different MVC pages. We want to take a look at the problem that we're having with Fabricam Prod. Selecting this one, we get some details down below, and you can see here some information, including the links back to the System Center dashboard, as well as information about an IntelliTrace file. Well, let's take a look at that IntelliTrace file. If I click on the links, we can see I've got a link to my IntelliTrace file included in my work item. Double-clicking on that will open up the work item, or the IntelliTrace file, within Visual Studio. And here you can see I've got a section for exception data. It seems as though I've got a null reference problem happening within my report. When I click on that, you can see the call stack, and you can see this is indeed coming from my employee report view model when it calls the Get Customer Summary. Well, let's debug the newest exception in this group. As soon as I click on that, you can see I'm taken to the source code where this exception was thrown. I can see that it was thrown when I make this call to Get Customer Summary and I'm passing in a current customer. I've got information down below in my locals window about the call as well as the call stack. Well, what I hadn't anticipated was not all of my employees are necessarily going to have a current customer. So naturally, there's going to be a few scenarios where current customer will be a null object, and I never handled that in my code. Well, let's open up my solution and fix this problem. So I'm going to go to my recent projects and solutions. Here's my Fabricam call center. So I've opened up my solution, and you can see I'm already prepared to solve this problem. Here's my Get Customer Summary in my Employee Report View Model class. And the customer that is being passed in sometimes is null, sometimes is actually a full customer. I just need to handle the null case. So I'm going to do a quick check if my customer object is equal to null. And if it is, I'm going to simply return a string no current customer. Otherwise, what we'll return is a formatted string with the customer's name and the city that they're reporting the problem from. All right, well, let's just run this real quick and see if that solved my problem. So now I'm in my test environment here. I'm going to take a look at my reports. And we'll skip over a couple of breakpoints that I've established. And we can see I'm actually getting the data that I'm expecting now. And I can see that James currently has no customer. Well, that's where my null exception was occurring. I think I've solved the problem. So we'll stop debugging that. And I'm going to check in my code. So I'm going to go over to Team Explorer again. And before I do my check-in, let's look at the builds that I've got. We can see I've got some other builds that I've executed, and I have my Fabricam call center release definition here. We take a quick look at this one. We can say I have this one defined as a continuous integration. So this is going to kick off as soon as I check in my code. Let's go back to Team Explorer, look at my pending changes. I can see I've got my employee report view model class. I'll say fixed bug with null customer. And I'm going to check that in. I'm going to go back, take a look at my builds, and we can see we've got a new build that's been kicked off. We can also see how this is going to look in release management, and my colleague Claude is going to walk us through that.
All right, thanks, Larry. So now we're inside release management for TFS 2013. And what we're looking at is tracking the different releases that we have. So the logic we have in release management is that we create that unique release transaction for any new version of the software that we want to go through a predefined release path. So here we see the release path for our call center. So we have three stages we need to go through. And through the automation, once the release got created, we actually had it configured to run a series of tests. And if the tests were successful in dev, deploy it, run the tests, and actually go directly into QA. So I received an email that told me that now I have to go do some testing in QA of the new version with the bug fix. So here I'm looking at what's on my QA stage, specifically for my release path. And I have a new release that got created just recently, currently in progress. So I'll dig in into that specific release. So once I'm inside, I see that it's currently waiting for my approval. But first, I'll look at the log of what happened to that release so far. So here we want to look at the detail on the log of everything that has happened to that specific release so far. So we can see, for example, right now that it got deployed in dev. We had set our release path to have an automated approval in dev. We had the deployment step that we went through. And part of that deployment step, we did a number of things. Again, that was pre-configured for that specific application. So we made copies of the site that we had on the target server one. Then we deployed our call center and we restarted the site. When we deployed the call center, this are actually all the files that we brought to that target server and that we installed. So this was done successfully, and then we deployed into QA, and currently we're waiting on a QA business approval. So as a QA person, I got the email, and now I need to go and do my approval. So I'm looking in the dev site and looking at the reports, and I see that it got fixed, so great. Then I see that on the QA, I'm looking at my report, they got fixed also, so I'm fine. So I'll go and approve for it for the fix to be pushed in production, which again, it's still broken. So part of that email that I receive, I have a link to my approval client. So we have a lightweight approval client for the business approvers and testers, where they can just go to this client or go to the previous client that I was showing. And from there, just making approvals. I have this build, which was for this component. I can see again my approval history that has happened, and based on that information, I might decide to just go and approve that build to go forward. So, all good. So I'm approving it. And actually, when I come back, I can look at it through a pipeline view, or I can go and just track more from a subset of all the releases and look at them based on ordered in time. So in this case, I see my latest release that's there. So I'll refresh the status, see where it is. So it's currently deploying in production. Actually, I'll open it up. And we actually see the deployment happening as it is happening. So we'll just wait a second while the deployment occurs. And now the deployment has completed, it's successful. So the software is currently in production. And again, if we'll go look back at our production and we look at the reports, that our correction is now in production. So completing that full flow of going forward. Again, when we did this, we went through a few steps where we had many things pre-configured for us. So I'll just take a minute and go and explain how that configuration had been done prior to using the software. But on a day-to-day basis, this is how you'd operate the system. Do the check-in, get the approvals done, and just track on the target servers to see if the application is there, approve and reject as you go. So to make that happen, we actually had pre-configured the path that we've went through. So here I'm looking at the how we've set that up originally when we first started using release management to deploy this application. And here you see that we had defined three stages. And for these three stages, again, those are by different stage type that we configure for the application. We're able to put pre-deployment approval, deployment notification, post-deployment approver, and also additional business approval. And for example, in dev, we just went through. So the tests we ran as part of the deployment were successful. We just went ahead and deployed into QA. And then we had somebody from the QA team, myself in that case, that did the approval so that we would get into production. So the key here is that we can add as many or as little approvers as we want on any one of those stages. We can add, have more or less stages. So it's very easy to configure based on the desired business workflow that you want to have. Each of those stages are linked to an environment, which is the collection of servers that you're using for that, your testing or for prod. And these servers can be virtual, they can be on Azure, or they can be actual servers, physical servers. The other aspect we had configured so that the deployment would work, now that we have a path, we know where we want to go, is actually configure the deployment sequence steps themselves on each of these servers. So if we open up the way the what we call the release template, you'll see here that we have the actual deployment sequence that we have created. So in this case, we backed up the previous version by copying a file to a temporary folder, and then we stopped the site, installed our call center, restarted the site, and we had specified a rollback. So in case something goes wrong with the deployment, then we execute what's part of the rollback procedure. In this case, stop the site, take the backup, bring it live, and then restart the website so that we're back to where we are. What you'll notice is for each of these actions and for our component, we have specific variables and values we need to set. So for example, if I'm looking at my call center, this is where I was installing it for the dev environment. If I go to the QA environment, I'm actually installing it into the QA environment. And the mechanism we're using is that we'll use the values for each of the environment on each of the server. And at deployment time, we will do a variable replacement and use the values for that one environment. So it leaves us with one set of configuration files, one set of actions that we're doing, and we're just abstracted the specific value. So instead of being in the scripts themselves, they're abstracted and visible so that we can manage them. One other thing you can do is to look at them together. So if I'm looking at the site, I can actually go and edit them directly for each of the environment. In many cases, issue will arise from mistyping or missing some configuration. So that makes it easy to see how we're configured for the complete pipeline at a given point. The actions that we've used, those actually were taken from the series of pre-done actions that we have in our toolbox. So the toolbox comes with a number of pre-done things. For example, starting and stopping an Azure server. We have a number of IIS actions that we can do. And basically, to use one of these actions, it's as simple as, you know, taking it, dragging it into the sequence we want, and filling in the detail values that we need to enter for that specific environment. What's interesting is that we've included common actions that you want to do, but also we can go into the inventory to see all the available actions. So I'll just stop this. And when we go to the inventory, we see all the different actions that are available in the box with the product to help you compose your deployment. But also, you can actually add your own executables that you want Release Manager to bring to the target server. You can create those new executables, define and for these executables, define the command line and arguments that you want to use, and create actions with them that will appear in the toolbox. So a lot of the investment you might have in PowerShell scripts or other executables you have, we can just bring them into Release Management. We'll use them, we'll bring them to the target server, we'll take actions, either continue deployment, rollback based on their success, and it's a very easy way to migrate to using Release Manager and using the business workflow that comes with it while reducing the ramp-up time that you need to start using it and actually automate your deployments and your workflows. So we've seen how we can start from a problem in production, have it go through System Center, kick off work item in Visual Studio, correct it, build it, deploy it through all the environments, and basically have that full flow covered with the tooling for a real complete DevOps solution. All right, thanks for watching.